We're going to be starting a new series right now called What in the World Happened to Us? Anybody ever asked that question? What in the world's going on? What in the world? What in the world? And let you know this. Humans weren't always this messed up. We've worked at it for generations and generations to where we are at today in our generation. And you need to know this. You've been chosen to be in this generation. This is not a mistake by God. And it is a matter of critical importance for us Christians to know our origin, to know what God's design was in making us. You know, one of my pet peeves sometimes with Christians is when they speak of people as being, that we're just pieces of scum, we're just this dirty thing, and, you know, God wanted to help us. It's like, no, God considered us of great value. Great value. So much value that he would die for us. He would take our place. That makes somebody valuable. When you're willing to give up your life for their life, that it tells you they're of great value. So, so with everything's going on and in our own lives, it's really critically important for us to know that God doesn't make it up as he goes along. You know, he's not a bumbling administrator who is so inept in his planning that his blueprint for redemption, helping us, the Bible, must be endlessly subject to revision because surprises happen and God didn't take that into account. Stuff happened that he didn't know about. He has to change it on the fly because things happen that took him by surprise. God's eternal plan, according to Scripture, is not revised because of imperfections within it that must be fixed. Nor is his plan in need of ongoing correction because he has gained new knowledge that he didn't have before. This God of Scriptures has no plan C or plan B. His plan A is from everlasting to everlasting. Stuff may surprise us. Life may surprise us. Our bodies can surprise us. They can decay. Lots of things will sideswipe us. But nothing in all of that is new or new information to God that he has to change something up to catch up with this new thing. He is both perfect and unchangeable because all of God's creation from beginning to end has already been planned out. You being in this generation has been planned out. Your world, where you came from, all of that has been planned out. And it started way back in the beginning. That's why the origin is important. Our human origin. Because that original design is what God's desire for human beings to be like. They were perfect in design. And so we need to understand what that looks like in order to understand all these generations later what God is doing in our life to restore us back to that. And then there's the journey that's still in the future for us. So the first thing we need to understand is this, that this creation was made out of nothing. And then God worked in the creation to make things. So he started out with zero. It tells us in Isaiah 45:18 this, for this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God, he who fashioned and made the earth. He founded it. He did not create it to be empty. So God, and that word Lord has the connotation of the triune God, made this creation out of nothing. And then he entered into what he made, the materials he made, and then he started to form things. This was way before man was ever created, human beings were ever created. Then he formed this earth of materials for humans to live on. You know, it's almost like when you have a baby. Anybody have babies? It's interesting. A couple I know is, pregnant now, and the guy's going around saying we're pregnant. I don't know. We didn't say that in my generation. We said she is pregnant, and I did my contribution. And but now they're both pregnant, although it appears she's doing all the work. And but anyways, when you're having a baby, what you generally do is what? You start to get a crib. The baby isn't born yet. The baby hasn't entered the world, but you're getting things ready for the baby to have. Whether it's a bassinet next to your bed, or whether it's a crib, painting the room, putting up stuff, you're getting all this clothes together and putting all these things ready for the new baby. Well, that's what God did with creation. Before any human being was created, he had already made everything out of nothing. And then the materials that came from that, he formed into our home, this planet. It says, he formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. I'm the one that did this. So he formed this world to be inhabited. God's design was us to live on this ball of mud forever. To have a body to walk around in. To live here. And let's pick up God's dialogue about what he was going to do after that. And then, as you know, in the book of Genesis, which really means, the word means origins or beginnings. It's our origin. We were made to live in this. Only two people were made perfect along with this perfect world to live in it. From that point on, it kept getting deformed, corrupted, until we get to our generation. And you know, we have so many suicides. People are so disconnected from this world that God made for us to fit in that we say it's better to get out of it. We're so disconnected from each other and disconnected God. But one time it wasn't that way. So when I understand what it was and what God's design in the beginning, it helps me to put in context where I'm at in the reforming and what is going on in all of that. And that's what we'll look at today. It says, then God said, that word God appears thousands of times in the Old Testament. And that word God stands for the Elohim, stands for the triune God. It stands for the God who is relational. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image. Let us make them like us. To be like us. And they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals who scurry around the ground. He says, we're going to make them like us, relational, and then there's a lot more to that image. But we're going to put them on this planet, and they're going to be involved in the air. They will rule. They will reign over. They will manage all the air. They will manage the animals in the sea. They will manage the ones that scurry on the ground. This place will be totally fitted for them to manage in our image. We manage everything. We're giving them a place to manage. And they will be a part of that. He goes on to say that this is a relational thing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are relational. And the Son is the example for us. That's why I tell new people when they get, you know, they want to know about the Bible, they want to know about God. I said, read the Gospels, because when you read Jesus, you read the relational God who is like us and has a body like us. It's coming. Oh, I thought that was the rapture. It'd be a bummer if we leave here and it's like, where's everybody? So what does that mean to be made in God's image? What does that mean? Well, it means this. There is complete unity. God's desire for humans to live in unity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are made of one essence, God. They are all God, yet they are separate in personality. We are all humans, yet we are separate and unique in our person and in our personality. We have that image bearing. We exist in each other. We can procreate. We can do what God did on the earth. He took nothing. He's the only one that can take nothing and make something out of it. But like him, we can make something out of materials that already exist. We can procreate. We can be creative like God. We can build things. We have intellect. We have all kinds of abilities. Each one of us has unique talents. That's what God has. And the difference being, we can't make it out of nothing, but we make things out of the material God has provided. We stand apart from the rest of God's creation in this environment in that ability. We have emotions. We have moral and spiritual capacities. We have intellect. We have conscience. We have a feeling of right and wrong. We have will. We have volition. We have the ability to do stuff and go places and create better ways of going places. We have the sciences where we can explore and determine how does this stuff work. What are the more intricate parts of it? So God, after he said, this is our plan, he put the plan into effect. And it says in verse 27 of Genesis 1, so God created human beings in his own image. He created them. He made them of the material. In the image of God, he created them. And then he broke them into two groups. He made males and he made females so that that union could actually create, just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in their union, they designed all this. In female and male union, they can create more of themselves. They can create likeness. They can create their own image. It's an amazing thing. Then God did this. He formed them. It says in Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God, first time that phrase is used, Lord and God. Lord is the personal God, and God is the triune God. So in this forming of humans, one of them, Lord, the personal God, which we would know as Jesus, came into the dirt. He got dirty and he formed human body. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He came into this earth, the material of this earth, and he formed a human being out of that material. That's why our DNA has similarity to every other living creature on the earth. We're all from the earth. In fact, when he named the man Adam, the root word of that name Adam is groundling, someone from the ground. And so he formed this body, what we would call the body, and then he breathed the breath of life into him. He made him alive with spirit. So Adam and then Eve, when they were created, he created them a male and a female to populate the earth, to explore, to subdue, to do all these different things. Their spirit, see, every one of us in here has a spirit. Their spirit was alive to God. They had connection with God in the spiritual sense. He breathed into that, and it says, then what happened? And the man became a living person. He became a living soul, is another word for that. So we have the spirit and the body and the soul. And so I want to tell us about the spirit a little bit. After the God did this, he put the man in a sleep, and you can read that, and then he formed her out of part of the material that he formed him, but he formed her differently. And so that's why we're different. But in union, we're whole. That we meet God's design. So Adam and Eve had this. See, everyone in here has a spirit. Scripture tells us this, that our spirits are dead to God. You and I, when we are born into this world, we are born separated from God spiritually. I have a spirit. My spirit it will live forever. It will go on. But it is dead to God, which the word dead means separated. So everyone in here, till we became alive with God and connected, reconnected spiritually, we are living by two ways, our soul and our body. What's our body? Our body is governed by the five senses. What is it? Hearing, sight, taste, touch. What's the other one? Smell. See, you know. And that body was made to house the spirit and the soul. I have a spirit, but it is connected to my soul. So when I don't have God, when I am not spiritually alive, I am living by my soul and my body's desires. So what is the soul's desire? Oh, well, the soul experiences all the brokenness, all the stuff of our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly. And our soul is an amazing thing because it consists of everything that communicates me. My soul, another word for soul is psyche. It encompasses my intelligence. It encompasses holding all the wounds of my life. It encompasses my personality. It encompasses my personhood, how I look at life, how I do life. It separates me from everybody else. Your soul is that. So everybody, now think of this. We, generations from the plan of origin, have very damaged souls. Adam and Eve had no damage. They were alive spiritually. See, that's where the enemy messes with us, is in our spirit. That's what he wants to go. Where does the Holy Spirit come? The Holy Spirit comes into our spirit. And when we get God, our spirit becomes alive. Now we have a whole different way beginning to relate to God. Listen to what Scripture says. Let me give you a couple. About this. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says this, but people who aren't spiritual, now in our day and age, we use spiritual for a lot. I'm a spiritual person. No, people who aren't alive spiritually to God can't receive the truth from God's Spirit. It sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit, big S, means. That's why before any of you and me came to the Lord, I used to read the Bible when I was really high. And see, God will use our soul damage to draw us to Him. He will use sometimes our body to draw. You know, it's usually for most of us, we come to God from some type of soul damage. Now, there are those people that come to the Lord through intellect, like a C.S. Lewis. Some of those people whose soul is interested. However God does it, He creates something in us to draw us to an interest in Him. And for me, I was reading the Bible, and it didn't make any sense to me. I liked reading parts of the gospel. I liked reading about Jesus being born. I liked reading about some other stuff. But when the Bible started talking about love your enemies, and I'm not spiritually connected, foolishness! That is really stupid. Bless those who persecute you. Misspell, kill those who persecute you. At least hurt them. At least get even. How about that? Let's just do that. Let's just balance the table here. You know, those things are foolishness. And if you go in the Old Testament, I can't even say the words. And why am I listening? These people killed those people and those people did this and that. It's absolute nuts to you. It doesn't make sense. And so that's why Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, this religious Pharisee, when he was walking the earth, he says to this guy, don't you know that you have to be born again? Your spirit. The spirit you have, but it's connected to your soul and body, and it has no power to give you anything different. You have to be born again. Your spirit has to come alive to God. And so he's looking at it simply from the soul position. He goes, what do you mean? I got to go back in my mother's womb? Is that what we're talking about here? What you're saying is kind of foolish to me. He goes, no, you must be born again. Your spirit must be alive to God. Then your spirit begins to interact with all the issues of your soul, the emotions, the feelings, the way I've chosen intellectually to deal with people, places, and things. All those things. And now I'm beginning to have what we call the battle between the spirit and the flesh. Because God's ways still seem really ignorant to us. God says, don't do this. And we go, but it brings my body pleasure. It brings my soul. What do you mean, don't have sex till you're married? How do I know if I like her? That's so stupid. How do we know if we're compatible? How do we know? We start getting convicted in certain areas of our life. And it starts small. It starts small. Why? Because you're a baby. You're born. You're just connected to God. And so God begins to grow you a little bit. And that's where the fight comes in. Your will, your soul, the way you've done life. I mean, it's amazing to me, like when someone comes to the Lord and their soul becomes alive at a young age and they've walked with God that whole time. And not perfectly, nobody does that, but it's like, wow, that's an amazing testimony. That's how come some people are amazed at my testimony. In fact, I got a call the other day from a guys I grew up, you know, I used to do stuff with. They were my buddies. I love those dudes. And I haven't talked to him in years. One guy I haven't talked to for like, it seems like 20 years. And these were the guys that knew my world and lived in my world back in the day. And they said, hey man, let's get together. Let's check it out. Let's see, you know, what you've been doing. It's like, okay, I'm going to get together with them. And it's way cool. But these guys knew me in that world. So you guys probably think, God, Joe smuggled dope from South America? No. Yeah, I did. But see, because the Spirit's come into my life over this period of time, that becomes interesting to like my buddies. You're different. What do you got? See, that's why your testimony is so important. Not only your testimonies of victory, your testimonies of the battles. Your testimonies of, you know. That's why people whose spirits are not alive to God, but God's done something in them to create curiosity to maybe check out this thing. Someone in here today might have been brought by a friend because you looked at that friend and you're going, man, you're different than you used to be. And they tell you, hey, yeah, come to church. So you come into church, you haven't been in church, you might have been, you know, you might have had something to do with it at some point in your life, but, you know, that was back then. And then your soul took over and your hurts and your pains and all the way you've guided yourself since then, and oftentimes anesthetize yourself. And we go into this situation. They told me to stay behind the pulpit. Hi, y'all. I just can't do it. So they're going to put a shock ankle bracelet on me. At least it's familiar. They wanted to, I ADD'd on myself right there. So, help me, people.
When your friends bring you back to church.
Oh, yeah. When your friends bring you back to church. And you haven't been to church and you're not really spiritually alive. Thank you, brother. He was listening. But, thank you, DJ. That's why he's my man. So they bring you to church, but you're spiritually curious, but not spiritually connected. And you come into a worship and you start going, when are they done? Why are they singing so long? Why are they saying these verses over and over, What's going on here? Because they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand the word. And if you can't preach at where people can understand, that's why some people, when you can even see this in pastors, you can see it in people when they're sharing the word, they're sharing it from their soul and it has no power. But then you can see when the Spirit touches someone and they're sharing and it has power. And I'll give you some scriptures for this. But what I want you to understand this is that you and I, before we get to Jesus, we are dead in our spirit to the things that will touch us from God. And God has to awaken that. And once that awakens, everything changes. But the origin, Adam and Eve, and we don't even know how long they operated in complete wholeness. Our origin was when they were created, he breathed into them. Scripture says he walked in the garden. They were absolutely alive to God. Their souls were not damaged. They were whole in their souls. And their bodies were not damaged. That was God's plan for us. But God knew that the whole time. In fact, Scripture says that when they were naked and felt no shame. That word naked means transparent. They were completely vulnerable. They were secure in themselves. They accepted one another. They were in touch with God to the degree that everything fit. Heaven and earth, the whole creation fit together and they operated in it. They were operating in wholeness. See, the enemy will always attack the spirit to attack the soul. And yet, when they faced that one temptation, the Spirit of God had already told them, don't eat that fruit. That will cause you great, great loss. Death will be. You will die in connection with me. You will die in connection to yourself. You will die in connection with each other. You will die in connection to the earth that is your home. We wander. One of the big challenges all of us have as we go in life is, what am I here for? What am I supposed to do? And that was one of my big concerns when I was growing up. It's like, there's got to be more than grow up, work, get married, have kids, die. No matter how good that is and those good parts about that, is that it? Well, then shoot me now. I may, how high do I have to get to tolerate that? It's true. He says this in Romans 8:9, you, however, are not in the flesh, not governed by the soul and the body, but the spirit, but in the spirit, if what? If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the spirit part of you is alive to God, the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit's role in unifying us is to now begin to teach us. And he says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to God. They are still separated. So God's desire was always and is always, even in our generation, because we've had many generations to get to the tore up spot we are at as a world and as individuals. And, you know, look at our histories. A lot of our histories, it's a problem. And so he wants to bring that. But he also, we were designed to have a body. We were designed to live. Adam and Eve were designed to live in their body in this beautiful thing that God made specifically to be inhabited. And then who knows what God's going to do? So that got messed up. But that is the original plan. And God, as I shared with you in the beginning, does not deviate from the original plan. It's still the plan. But he knew problems would take place and we would go way off the plan. His plan didn't change, and that's why Jesus was crucified since the beginning. Before he ever was crucified to fix the situation, it was already a plan to do it because he knows. He's not, so we move to our generation. Now when you come to the Lord, your spirit becomes alive to God. The Holy Spirit enters in, and then that spirit begins to influence our soul, begins the healing process, begins making us like we were designed to be made. And that process will end for us on this earth when our body dies, because it can't be reformed. It's doomed. And it, from the dust, it'll return to the dust. But one day, and that's the beauty of Jesus, we will be resurrected, and now we will be complete again like they were. Never to die again. Never to be separated again. Oh, to be whole in every way. That is the design. And so when you're going through your stuff and you're learning, God is working things to make you more and more similar to Jesus, who was absolutely complete, but bringing us as human beings to our wholeness. And that's why your testimonies are so important. Holy Spirit's job is to quicken us to things. I still struggle to this day with all the addresses in the Bible. I've been eating God's word a long time, and it's part of my being. And the more I have the spirit influence, the more I have the ability to control the soulish part or the flesh part of me. The less I have of that, the more I operate by the flesh. That's why newborn Christians still operate a lot by the flesh. What's sad is when you have old-time Christians still operating a lot by the flesh. That means you need to get out of the crib a little bit and start dealing with things by the Spirit. But see, that's the battle that takes place. That's why Scripture calls us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when God enters you, you now become a new creation. The broken parts of you now start to becoming new. And Jesus says this in John 4:23. He says this, speaking of himself, but the hour is coming. He says, the hour is coming. This healing, because he's getting ready to go to the cross, to be resurrected and to reunite our spirits with God simply by conversion in him. The Father will send the Spirit, and Jesus will send the Spirit to us. He goes, the hour is coming when this is going to happen. The hour is coming. And he says, then he says this. He says, the hour is coming and is now here. I'm right in front of you. It's happening. when the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit. Small s, with their spirit. They will be connected. He says, the hour is coming when this will happen. Because after his resurrection, he poured out the Holy Spirit. He says, it's coming. And he says this, the true worshipers, those who are connected to God, will worship in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. So when you see that word spirit and truth, you understand that it's this, your spirit empowered by his spirit, that connection. Why? Because God is relational. And you and I were designed to have that. We were formed to have that. And what happened? We became deformed. We became messed up. We became disordered. When he made us, we were ordered. And we've become disordered. So God enters in and he starts the reordering process. So when you're going through your stuff, you need to look at it like that. You need to understand that there is something going on. When I'm battling inside of me, say, oh, my soul is battling the spirit. My soul is saying this thing is better. So what does the enemy do? He's going to tempt us to live by our soul and our flesh. No, do this, it's better. That's why scripture tells us sin, falling short of God's design, is always pleasurable in the beginning. That's why we do it. How many do sin because it's not pleasurable? But at some point, the benefit lessens and lessens and lessens, and the pain from that increases and increases and increases. Why is God allowing that? So he draws you back to the Spirit. Draws you back to listening to the Holy Spirit. In fact, this was mentioned in the Old Testament by Ezekiel, that this is what's going to happen to us. Even though it was still way in the future. Ezekiel had the book of Genesis. He had the origin, but he also knew that something was coming to fix the problem. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, God is speaking here and he goes, I will give you a new heart. And a heart is another name for soul. I will give you new. What you have is messed up. I will start doing new things in it. And a new spirit. I will make your spirit alive. The only thing God doesn't make new in our lives when we come to him is our thinking. We still have our memories. We still have our thought processes. We still have those things going on. That has to be what scripture calls transformed or reformed again or put in order because it's disordered. Trauma disorders the way you look at life. Pain, rejection, all those things disorder us. And that starts when we're teensy-weensies because that's how damaged it's gotten over the generations. But God's not afraid of that. He knows everything about you. He knows exactly where you're disordered. He knows how he can put that in order and then use you to help other disordered people. Bringing them first to him so they can become alive. And then the process starts and then them, and then we can be together getting better. We can learn to love and to operate in we go from selfish all the time to selfless. Not that we don't take care of self-care. We just think of ourselves less. You know that famous saying? I don't think much of myself, but all I think about is myself. He says, I will remove. He says, I will put a new spirit within you and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. He didn't say your flesh is a heart of stone. He says from your, well, where's that heart at? It's in your soul. Why? Because you get hardened from this in this world. When we get wounded, it becomes scar tissue. We get hardened to it. He says that thing can't be repaired. It has to be removed. Your mind, which is attached to your intellect and your personality and all those things, I don't take that out of you. I learn to change it so it becomes valuable, an asset to you rather than a detriment. And we've talked a lot about self-talk in here. How many, you know, a lot of us have the thoughts we have about ourselves, and they're not helpful at all. He starts to change all that. And he says, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will make it soft again. And I will put my spirit within you. Well, where is he going to put it? It's going to put it in your spirit. And cause you, I will begin to cause you to walk, which is how we live life. I will cause you to live by my statutes, by the borders I set for your well-being. I'm not against you. And he says, and you will be careful. You will start to become careful to live and obey my rules. Why? Because I will start to see them as beneficial to my life. How many of us ever, let's just raise our hand. How many of us have thought that God's rules were not beneficial to our lives? They took away all the fun stuff. And they made us do all the unfun stuff. That's because we were dead to God. It seemed like foolishness to us. But he makes us alive. And then he does something else to us. He starts to give us wisdom in our thinking. In Ephesians 1:17, it says, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. See, when God gives us revelation, he gives it to us in our spirit. You ever talk to somebody and all of a sudden you're saying some brilliant things? You're even amazed that I should write this down. It's like these things just, that's the spirit of revelation. He's revealing stuff to you. Sometimes it's in our gifting. I can sometimes talk to somebody and God will let me know exactly what's going on in their world. You know, I don't see everything, but I do see something that's going on in their world. And that's a revelation. It's not coming from all of a sudden I got smart. It's being revealed. And wisdom is the ability to put knowledge into practice at the right time. You know what a lack of wisdom is? After you blow it and then you think, well, I should have done something different there. That's great. Wisdom is when you do the different thing before you have to go, oh, I blew it. So this is what's going on. But not only that, he gives us power. He gives us a power we can't have. We've never had before. And Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Oh, there's a different touch of the Holy Spirit that will give us a power to do what? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of this. You will be a witness of what I do. And you will use that to draw people to me. You will have power. Your words will not just be from your soul and your body and your experience. They will have power behind them. And that's a beautiful thing. So as we walk in the Spirit. Now remember, our origin, Adam and Eve had that. They had all that going. What they were not good at was they never were tempted before. You and I, we pop out of bed and we're tempted. We wake up. Should I go into work today? I don't want to go to work. We're already tempted to not go to work. We're already tempted to not do things. There's already stuff going on in our... They weren't tempted. And so they had not built up the ability to resist it. I don't know how long they talked to that the snake in the garden, which was an angel, a demonic angel. They were having, you know, they were spiritually alive, so they saw spiritual stuff. They were connected. And, you know, I was talking to a buddy the other day, and he was telling me this band he loved back in the day. I think it's called API. And anybody know about API? Well, good. But the music coming from, I mean, he used to listen to it. And then he put it on the other day, and he started listening to the lyrics. And in this one song, it says, "In the shadows, I grow my wings." And as he listened to it, it was like, all of a sudden, his ears heard this song different. It was like, that's straight demonic. It's talking about a demon that their wings started to spread out in the darkness. And he never had heard that in all the years he listened to it. Another song they had was God Takes Time Off. And it talked about God's not there when you need him. He's taking time off. And basically saying God's not interested in people. And so, you know, and the music caused people, you know, some music causes people angst and you know, it music has effect on us. How many know that? And so you're filling yourself with that stuff. And he did for years. And it was like, whoa, now all of a sudden there's a discernment he didn't have before about, wow, what's really behind this stuff? And that's what begins to happen. There's a power that takes place in our lives, a discernment. There's things that happen. So God makes Adam and Eve, and he does a number of other things in the world. And you know what he says at the in Genesis 1:31? It says, "Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good." This is good. This is good. That was the origin. Next time I speak, we'll be looking at what happened and who's behind our fall and what does that look like? What happened? But when we know that this is what God thinks about his human creation, he was glad he made us. He was glad. Now, there's one place where he says he was sad because of our brokenness and what we do to each other. But he knew all that too. And God always has the remedy. So what God, and this is what 1 Thessalonians tells us, Paul referring to this work of God in our lives. He says, "Now may the God of peace, the God who calms us down, the God who restores us, make you holy, separate you in every..." Holy means to be separated unto something. You are now separated unto life with God. May he make you more and more live like that. He says, "Make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit," the spirit we have in us, "and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." May God work in us to continue to perfect us, body, soul, and spirit, in the way we do life, ultimately till he comes again. And he says this, God will make this happen. That's his plan. He wants to restore his people. "And for he who calls you to this," he who called you out of living just in our soul and our body, who has called you into being connected with him, whatever means that took. And once that connection takes place, he is going to work in us. And he's going to bring us, even if we go sideways, he has the ability to bring us back. Even if we get lost in our soul and do stuff with our body, he has the ability to keep us there. He has the ability to bring us back. That's why the story's not over till the story's over. And he said he'll do what he said he'll do. And that's why when Jesus connected us to him, we're always connected. Now it's about changing us. And he says, God will make this happen. Why? "For he who calls you is faithful." He is faithful to his original plan. Just because we messed up didn't make him go, "Oh, geez, what am I going to do now?" I had such high hopes in Joe. Then he went and disappointed me. How am I going to fix this? He knows everything about me. Psalm 31:39 says, he knows my coming, my going. He knows when I'm awake. He knows when I'm asleep. Another psalm says, if I go to the greatest depths, if I go to the deepest, darkest place, he knows where to find me. He's with me. If I go to the highest heights, he knows where I'm at. He knows where to find me. He's got me. He's got you. He's got you. And if you realize, man, I'm not connected spirit-wise, man, I've been living out of my soul, and I even view God from my soul and my body. I always make up things about God and this and that. It's like, it's because I'm disconnected. I have a spirit. It is involved in my life, but it is not attached to God. Now's your time to get it attached. And so perhaps somebody's in here too that has been attached to God. You are spiritually alive, but you live all the time in your soul. Your soul runs your life. Man, that's what repent means. Repent means to turn and go to something different, which the corresponding action to that is something changes. So I'm just going to open it up right now for you guys and just all close your eyes, you know, and ask God. God, I just pray for my brother and sister right now to reveal what area of our life do we live by our soul. And it controls us. And we give much more ear to our intellect, to our feelings, to our emotions. We ruminate on things that have happened to us. We hold grudges against people. We think we're worthless. What is it that the soul dictates my value that needs to change and align with what your spirit says about me, with who I belong to? And I pray for those right now that have never made that connection, your spiritual connection to God. If you've never done that, today's a good day to do it. It could be your Super Bowl. It would be the best Super Bowl ever, and you are guaranteed to win. Guaranteed. You can even bet on yourself, and you will win. Just slide up your hand, and I want to make that connection with you. Okay. All right, I see. Perfect. Let's just pray now. I'm going to pray a prayer, and those people who raise their hand, be sure and talk to one of the connection team when you're done, because we want to give you some stuff, and or you can come on up here and talk to me, because, man, you're starting a new journey. Get plugged in. Get plugged in, because you need other kids, because your soul is pretty powerful. So, Lord Jesus, if you want to pray with me, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I am alive, that I have a spirit, and I want my spirit connected. Connected to God. And you did the impossible. You rose a dead spirit to life. And I thank you for that. And I give my spirit to God. Fill me in a greater way with your Holy Spirit than I've ever known before. Give me a greater power to walk by the Spirit in every area of my life, in my relationships, in my work environment, in my family environment, in my own personal inner life. Give me the ability through your power and your Spirit working in my spirit to transform me, to reorder me, to guide my life and connect me, God, in a greater way to your purpose for me and my generation as I walk this earth. And I know, God, my body will fail me at some point, but I thank you that you will make me whole in every way. And I will live forever with you, like your original design. And I thank you for that. And And all God's kids said,
Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a great, great day.